Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Before we get to my guest this week, who's somebody I think you might have heard of recently in the news, my one-man show on Broadway, Permission to Speak with Paul Mercurio, is going. We had a great week last week, good turnout, and really, really fun shows. It's a show where the audience members get to tell stories from their lives, or you get to just watch if you want. And a really cool set designed by the set designer from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. We're doing cool stuff with that. Getting some really great stories, like a guy who has polio but told his daughter when she was little a different story. And you can see that clip on my Facebook and Twitter page. So we got some clips from the show. Really proud of it. Hope you guys can make it out. Getting nice reviews from it, too. Go to telecharge.com and use the code PMFAN. That's PMFAN. You get 50% off to come see the show. It's at the Actors Temple Theater in New York City. Hope you can make it. Before we get to my guest, one other piece of business here. It's football season. This is my BetDSI folks who support the show, so I hope you'll support them. And now that the season's underway, how are you doing? I'll tell you two people who are doing, you know, one's doing good and one's not doing not so good. Baker Mayfield, nice week this past week. Really picked up the Cleveland Browns, gave him their first win in over 600 games. I'm a big fan of his beard, although it does need some beard oil. But I think this guy's going to be good. Hopefully he doesn't turn into a Manziel and lose his mind. But and then we got Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo, tore his ACL, $137 million. Ooh, man, that's not just stubbing your toe. See, he should have never left my Patriots. That's the thing. See, Belichick, he's got like this force field that protects his players. He can't even remember the last major injury that a Patriot has because he's a monotone, boring human knee brace. That's what Belichick is. You don't get injured around him. Anyway, BetDSI, okay? It's a great, great site because they're making it possible this football season when you register with the promo code PAUL100, that's PAUL100, to double your money guaranteed. See, football season's here. Help you get started with some extra bang for your buck. BetDSI is offering to double your money on your first deposit. Yep, deposits to start winning. Get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go when you use promo code PAUL100. Look, when it comes to football, anything for that matter, BetDSI has a line on it, okay? Esports, politics, who knows what's happening with the Kavanaugh thing? That's going to be a roll of the dice this week, okay? Reality shows. If it's happening, BetDSI will put a line on it. So they've been around for 20 years. They got a great reputation. They got a great mobile interface. Check them out. Go to BetDSI.com. Use the code PAUL100. That's the code PAUL100. And you've already won by doubling your bankroll straight away. That's promo code PAUL100. Go to BetDSI. Win some money. Use the money. Come to my show on Broadway. Take me out to a steak dinner and blow it all. On another note, it was my wife's birthday a couple of days ago. So I'm trying to figure out what to get her. And went to deepdiscount.com. They support me, so I really hope you can support them. They allow me to bring this this show to you. And what did I get? I got the complete fourth season of Archer, which is really, really funny. It's on sale for only $9.99. Crazy. Deepdiscount.com is that great site that I've told you about where you can get all sorts of movies, TV shows, old and new, apparel at really, really great prices. Go to deepdiscount.com logo on my website. Just click there. It'll take you right to Deep Discount and check it out. So I got my wife this Archer season of episodes, and turns out she doesn't like Archer. And to be honest with you, I knew that, but I like Archer, so I'm probably getting divorced, but I'll have the fourth season of Archer to watch to make me feel better. So I think it'll all work out. Anyway, stop wasting your time searching to find your favorites, TV shows, movies, films, etc. Just take charge and go buy it. There are no commercials, no more edits, no bad streams that buffer all the time. Just go to my website, paulmercurio.com, click on the Deep Discount logo, go there and check out some really great buys that they have on some really great stuff. They have new releases too. This week, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Ron Howard directs this new start to the epic adventure with young Han Solo and his future co-pilot Chewbacca. Get your copy for a great price at deepdiscount.com. Click their logo on my website and check it out. Be good to yourself. Support my sponsor. That helps me bring this to you. and pick up that Archer season 4 too. Why not? You know? And if you're not busy, come on over. I'm going to be alone. I'll have nobody in the house. We can watch it together. All right. My guest this week, Omarosa. Yes. And boy, does she have some stories to tell. It's a little dysfunctional in that White House. Anyway, enjoy Omarosa. Hope to see you at my one-man show, Permission to Speak. And here we go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show, and welcome first-timers to the show. On with me today is a very, very important figure in politics right now, the author of Unhinged, Omarosa Manigault Newman, who is got an amazing book out and sort of really putting herself out there with a lot of very interesting and revealing information about the Trump administration. And it's great to have you on. Thanks for being on the show.
Glad to be on.
Yeah. You went to school at Howard University, and I know we're a journalism major, and then also did biblical studies. Did you ever consider sort of going into that world of, you know, traditional broadcast journalism, or, you know, something related to the, you know, world of biblical studies when you were younger? I know at 23 you worked in the Gore administration for Vice President Gore during the Clinton administration, but what was your thinking then when you were sort of starting out?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah.
I have served in ministry. I'm an ordained Baptist minister. I'm also a military chaplain. I served as an assistant pastor at Willow Street Missionary Baptist Church for almost a decade. And now I co-pastor with my husband in Florida at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. So your question is spot on. I have always served in ministry. My faith has been a center of who I am. And I love to spread the gospel to anyone who I can about the goodness of Jesus Christ in my life.
Yeah. Did you, when at a young age, you know, you worked on the Democratic side of politics and then obviously sort of switched over, you know, working for Trump. I mean, did you consider yourself a Democrat and then sort of just didn't connect with that party anymore, or was it more sort of wanting to work for Donald in particular? Like, what was it about that sort of switch over from one party to the other that sort of sparked for you or happened for you?
Well, this is why I wrote my book. The name of my book, of course, is Unhinged, The Insider's Account of the Trump White House.
Right.
I wanted to write this book so people could see my very unique journey from working for President Clinton in the Clinton White House. As you stated, I started in Gore's office. I would go on to work for President Clinton as Deputy Assistant Director of Presidential Personnel. And then I worked at the DNC as a fundraiser. And then, of course, I worked for President Trump. So I have worked for a Democratic president, and I have worked for a Republican president.
Right.
And as an independent now, I have a unique perspective because I've been front row of both presidencies. I would only say this to folks who are kind of, you know, disenchanted with what's going on with politics. It's essential that they get involved, that they get on the front lines, they become informed, because this midterm election is going to transform our country. It has the effect of, you know, riding the ship if people think it's going in the wrong direction. So a big part of sharing my story and sharing this account was to just help understand, for people to understand my unique journey in politics as well as serving two U.S. presidents.
And, I mean, you know, you've been in and out of Washington, and for people who don't know, I mean, I went to law school in Washington, D.C. I only know it from that perspective, but not working in administrations, especially at the high levels that you did. When you first worked there, and then this next and the other go arounds after that, including obviously the last one under Donald Trump. What is that like? What is that world inside of that world like compared to what we think as outsiders? We think it's like how competitive is it? How toxic is it? I don't know what the right adjectives are, but it give people a sense of. And were you sort of surprised at what it ended up being versus what you thought it would be?
Well, I think politics are very important. As you stated, I've been in politics for 20 years, and it is rough and tumble. It's not for the weak at heart, the faint at heart. And I've studied, I've worked extensively to gather the experience so I could be effective and to really help be the change that we want to see in the world. You know, my journey is a unique journey in the sense that I grew up in extreme poverty in the Westlake Projects. You know, having my father murdered when I was 7 years old, I knew that I had to really fight to turn my life around, and that's kind of what I work to do. But now I look at the state of this country, and I have to admit I'm very concerned. I'm worried that if we don't come together and rise above politics that are partisan, that, you know, that this country could really end up in a bad shape. So I think that the true power lies in the voters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the thing that sort of concerns me, I mean, I go on a fair number of, you know, shows on the cable news networks, and I think they've contributed to the divisiveness, you know, because it is about ratings. And so it's really a sport in the sense of like, well, I don't agree with you, and I'm not going to ever agree with you on your side of the table, and you're not going to agree with me on my side of the table, and that's good for ratings. And I feel like it's really gotten toxic, and I don't know if we get back to a point. It feels like if I don't agree with you, if you're on the other side of the table with me politically, whoever you are, right, and I don't agree with 100% of what you believe, then we're enemies. Like, there's no middle ground anymore, right? Like, and that concerns me. And how do we get back to a place of healthy discourse where we can agree to disagree, or maybe agree on 80% of issues, but not on 100%, and still not be enemies? How do we get there?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to agree that this country is worth fighting for, that it's worth standing up for. And if we believe in this country and all that it's built on, this democracy, then we will put our differences aside. We'll find a way to come to the table and have a healthy dialogue about advancing who we are as a nation.
Right.
Unfortunately, so many people are so caught up in their own views that they refuse to even come to the table and have a decent conversation. But
right.
As we go into the fall, into the midterms, I think that you will see, you know, that you will see things that hopefully will find a way to bring us together.
Yeah. Why do you think, and I'm asking you to read some tea leaves here, but why do you think Donald Trump wanted to be president? Do you think it was truly to serve?
this is a question I get a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a question that I have, you know, it's a question that I have thought a lot about, and I had a lot of time to reflect. You know, in the book, I talk about my conversation with then candidate Trump and about what truly was in his heart, whether it's, you know, about him or whether it was about the nation. But, you know, I don't assume that I know what his full motivation is, but I would believe that maybe there was a piece of him that wanted to do good by this country. And unfortunately, you know, he allowed the power to go to his head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, again, I'm just an outsider, it feels like he's walked into Washington and feels like he's trying to operate in Washington like he does or did in New York City real estate, which is, you know, you kind of say this, you do a little of that, there's a little of that, and I know that happens in politics, but it feels like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's had to figure out that this Washington thing is a completely different animal, and which is why he seems to step into a pile of you-know-what on a pretty regular basis. Is that fair to say, or is there another sort of, I don't know, explanation for, you know, sort of the way he sort of tends to deal with issues and people?
Yeah, I think somewhat, but I also think it's much more complicated than that.
How so?
Yeah, I only have 1 minute left, so I think that that's a conversation that's a little longer than I have time left to say.
Why is John Kelly, in your opinion, serving Donald Trump in working in that administration? I mean, he seems like a decent guy, but it seems like it's a tough, he's a, you know, Trump's a tough guy to be, you know, sort of trying to, you know, run things behind the scenes. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think Donald Trump is obsessed with generals. You know, he has General Mathis, he has General Kelly, he has had so many generals because he's obsessed with them. But what he doesn't realize is, you know, that the generals aren't going to just stand by and let him do anything he wants to do.
Right.
And I'm glad that they're going to step, you know, in and try to bring some semblance of, hopefully, norm to him. But they are strong, and they believe in the country. And if he's not going in the right direction, I think that they'll step up.
Right.
I think when you see in the Woodward book, Mattis talking about how concerned he was about some of the things that Trump did, you know, I think it makes it evident that they're not going to just stand by while the country goes down the tube.
Yeah, that's important. All right, well, it's great to have you on. The book is Unhinged, and good luck with it, and best of luck in future endeavors. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
There you go. That's Omarosa. Very interesting. Talk about an insider's view. Woo! And check out my one-man show, Permission to Speak, on Broadway right now. Permission to Speak with Paul Mercurio. Go to telecharge.com for tickets and use the code PMFAN. You get 50% off. All right, folks. Thanks for checking out the podcast.